Hello, this is Ken Miller, and I'd like to tell you how we wrote Chapter 7 in the Dragonfly book. I'm a cell biologist, and I've spent my whole scientific career looking inside the cell and trying to understand different aspects of how cells work, how they're put together, and how they adapt to change. That means that this chapter isn't just about one of the big ideas of biology, it's also about something that is very near and dear to my heart. When I wrote it, I wanted to convince each and every one of your students that the secrets to life are cellular, that the cell holds the key to understanding what life is really all about. I began the chapter with a little bit of history, trying to tell your students about how cells were discovered and linking that discovery to an advance in technology, namely, to the ability to make optical lenses and instruments like telescopes and microscopes, to say nothing of reading glasses. A human invention for which I've become increasingly grateful in the past several years. In an age that is increasingly dominated by technology, I think it's especially important for students to appreciate that one of the genuinely big ideas of biology, the cellular basis of life, is directly dependent on the technology that first revealed the very existence of the living cell. I do worry that to many students, the organelles in the cell might sometimes seem like a disorganized mess of structures and names and functions, so I try to provide a powerful analogy that would tie everything together. Section 7-2 contains that analogy. It compares the cell to a factory. I hope you'll find this a useful way to present those organelles to students. The nucleus is the factory's main office. Ribosomes are machines on the factory floor. The ER is a conveyor belt. The Golgi is shipping and receiving. And lysosomes are the cleanup crews. When I mentioned the power plants of the cell, mitochondria and chloroplast, I pointed out that even though we get half our genetic information from each of our parents, we actually get all of our mitochondria from mom. And that, as it turns out, has an interesting implication that I've pointed out in one of the podcast messages to your students. After exploring these organelles and hopefully making it clear to students the important roles that biological membranes play in the cell, the third section of the chapter explores those membranes, including their composition and function. I think that you and your students will find the diagrams and the discussion clear and helpful, but pay particular attention to a question I've posed to students in one of my podcasts, namely, why is it that water can cross membranes so easily? There turns out to be a remarkable reason for this, and it won an American scientist the Nobel Prize a couple of years ago. And I'm going to have to rewrite this section because of it. A rewrite that I will do with great pleasure because it solved one of the genuine mysteries in cell biology. Pay a visit to the website and you will see exactly what I mean. And speaking of the website, be sure to take advantage of the links for Chapter 7. They include a virtual scanning EM that your students can actually work on their own over the web. An answer to the age-old question of whether plant cells contain lysosomes and the results of an incredible detective story in which Mary Claire King, an American biologist, solved the mystery of the disappeared in Argentina. The key to all of these things, like everything in life, is in the cell. I hope it works for you. This is Ken Miller, and thanks for listening.